Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Britain and France, allies of the United States, Britain and France, subjects of a new column from Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's in London. Joe's column addresses the hypothetical, speculative, but not incredible idea that the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, that we only hear about when the country's in trouble, such as Argentina, that the IMF best be prepared to bail out London and Paris from their indebtedness and inability to solve it. Joe, a very good evening to you. Yes, the papers is clear that what we have here are troubled nations. If they weren't called Britain and France, we'd think, what can we do for them? How did they get themselves into this mess, and how would the IMF help them out of it? Good evening to you.
Hey, John. Yeah, I mean, this was sort of a weird story that was happening here in Europe over the past couple of weeks. In both the UK and France, you started seeing some speculation from political figures or prominent economists in those countries about whether they might have to turn to the International Monetary Fund for some sort of bailout. And I mean, John, as you pointed out, this is usually a conversation that we have about emerging economies, developing countries, basket cases like Argentina or Greece have all received IMF funding at some point. And what the IMF typically does if a government has run into fiscal trouble, usually because it owes too much and can now not find any investors who are prepared to buy its bonds, the IMF will step in to help that government. And there will usually be an emergency lending package that will help the government paper over its immediate financing needs. And then there will be some punishing economic policy conditions that will come with that aid, because in theory, the IMF wants to make sure that that country never needs to come back to the trough for more help in the future. So typically, there will be a bailout package that will involve the financial aid, and then the government will have to agree that they're going to dramatically increase their taxes and slash government spending left and right and accelerate debt repayment, all of this to boost global confidence in that government again, encourage private investors to start buying those government bonds over the medium term, then the IMF will never have to do one of these bailouts. So it was a bit jarring for people in the UK and France to hear that their countries might need a deal like this that you would typically associate with, well, I mean, you know, some of the most recent recipients of IMF bailouts, I think, have been Pakistan and Bangladesh. So it's a little embarrassing for Britain and France to be in that echelon, especially because Britain thought these days were behind it after they've already received one IMF bailout in 1976. But this bespeaks the fact that people are growing more and more concerned about the fact that these governments have absolutely enormous debt piles and huge fiscal deficits each year, where the governments are way outspending their capacity to bring in tax revenue, and economic growth seems to be stalling out. And there is a general loss of confidence or diminishing confidence in the ability of these governments to pay their bills over the longer term, especially as you have all of these unfunded entitlement programs for old age benefits and health care that are looming around the corner. I think the past month or so has been a wake-up call in both countries that they are really in trouble.
France, let's go to Paris. Always a fun story. It has the fourth or fifth prime minister named by Mr. Macron in recent memory. And the indication from the continent is this prime minister is about to lose a no-confidence vote and giving Mr. Macron another opportunity to get it right, or he can call a snap election. Why? Because the present prime minister, the one they're going to remove, has proposed spending less. There you have it, Joe. spending less. Isn't that an opportunity for both London and Paris not to need the IMF if they cut their spending?
Well, I think the problem that they're running into is you've got a combination of political problems and economic problems, and then looming over it all the fiscal problem that these other issues create. So I think that you're absolutely right that cutting spending would be the obvious thing to do. The French government spends well north of 50% of French GDP every year. That it's insane. So much of that money is wasted. It goes to social benefits that they can't afford, that deter people from working or saving or investing. The tax burden that they do have, they collect more than 50% of GDP in revenue, and that's still not enough to pay for the government that they want. So, cutting spending would be the obvious thing to do, but there's no political will to do it. France is in a jam because Emmanuel Macron, the president, called a snap legislative election last year, and it basically produced a hung legislature in the National Assembly. So you don't have a clear majority either for Macron's centrist reforming party or for the far right or for the far left. And two-thirds of those groups, the far right and the far left, don't want to cut spending at all. The far left doesn't want to cut spending because they don't believe in doing it, and the far right doesn't want to cut spending because it's not popular. So I think that politically, you haven't yet gotten voters on board with the spending restraint. And the same thing has been true in the UK, where Prime Minister Keir Starmer, Chancellor of the Exchequer Rachel Reeves, earlier this year tried to reform disability benefits, the equivalent of America's Social Security disability. Far left backbenchers in the Labour Party refused to go along with that. So they had to scrap that reform. And then they also wanted to cut some fuel subsidies to wealthier households for the elderly. Couldn't do that either. It was politically toxic. So, we're in this situation where voters apparently refuse to accept spending restraint, but also, the economy can't bear the tax burden that would be necessary to pay for it.
I think I was told, and this might be a wrong detail, that the French were ready to riot if Macron took away one of their two of their holidays. So they're a little touchy about their freedom to do exactly what they want, despite the productivity problem. However, we come back to now Britain, the other side of the story. The Labour government is overwhelmingly in majority for the next 4 years, at least. 165 was the number I remember for majority. They can do what they want. Was the fact that early on they took away, what was it, €1 billion for subsidizing people's heating in the wintertime and then back down, was that a measure of how brittle they are about spending, that they can't cut even €1 billion?
Yeah, I think the dilemma the UK is in is basically the same as France. I mean, politically, if you look at opinion polling now, there is basically a three-way split between the left-wing Labour Party, which increasingly seems to be dominated by the far-left tranche of its backbenchers and activists, even though Prime Minister Keir Starmer and Chancellor Rachel Reeves are more centrist than personally. The party isn't with them. And then you've got a three-way split between that kind of a Labour Party and the rump of the Conservative Party, which has really fallen into disarray since the election last year. And then Nigel Farage's Reform Party, which is something of a black box when it comes to taxing and spending policy. Farage himself would probably prefer a smaller government, but it's not obvious that that's really where his party as a whole is right now. So I think despite the large majority in terms of parliamentary seats that Keir Starmer's Labour Party won at the last election, because of the electoral system here, that conceals an electorate and a politics that is much more divided on a lot of these issues. And we see that manifested in the difficulty that they have getting spending under control, why it is so difficult for them to means test some of these household energy subsidies. I mean, we were even just talking about not providing the subsidy to wealthier households, even if those wealthier households happen to be elderly people. And the Labour Party weirdly wouldn't go along with that. And they wouldn't go along with some of these social welfare policy reforms. And it looks unlikely that they're going to go along with any reform to the National Health Service, which is another big fiscal problem here. So I think that what we're seeing is that so many of these problems trace back to the fact that your voters don't know yet what they are prepared to do to get out of this jam. And part of it is because voters are sending mixed signals to politicians. Part of it is because there aren't any political leaders out there who are prepared to take the risk of actually leveling with voters about what it takes to fix some of these problems.
If the IMF were invited to bail out, does that mean it takes over the government?
Well, typically you end up with all of these policy conditions, and that I think is the real reason that this debate has bubbled up in Britain and France. But the reality is that these two countries are far too big for the IMF to ever really think about bailing them out. The IMF claims that it has about $1 trillion worth of lending capacity at any one time. So, I mean, that's more than enough if you're talking about a couple tens of billions of dollars that you're going to throw at Pakistan or even Greece. I mean, that was the IMF's part of the Greek bailouts 15 years ago. But there's nothing that the IMF or anyone else on the outside can do for a France or a Britain, because we're talking about the sixth, seventh largest economies in the world here. Their debt piles are just too large. So I think the crux of the debate in these countries was actually about the policy conditions that the IMF would impose if it were to do a bailout. And the point was that, if the IMF ever did come in, they would force us to do these really painful spending cuts and tax increases. And so I think that this debate is partly an argument saying, look, we have to do these things ourselves in a time and manner of our choosing, or someone will force us, if not the IMF, then just the global bond market in general, in the form of a financial crisis of some sort.
We have attention to the bond market in London right now, so let's go there. Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, he writes political economics about the IMF in Paris and London. We're going to London where, well, they need more than the IMF right now. They need somebody to stop the panic. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.